Thanks so much, Ron. I appreciate you taking the time on a Saturday morning to drop in for this. As Ron shared, this will be very interactive. I had a great connection with Ron and Taj maybe about 6 weeks back. Ron and I connected in Fresno in February, the end of February. It's actually the last public meeting that I did before the grand shutdown. And so it was the California City Advance. And so we had some good conversation and then some follow-up. And just enjoyed so much, you know, the heart connection with Ron and Taj. And I'm very familiar with California. As I mentioned earlier, my wife's home city is San Diego. And so we've lived there at various parts of our journey. We've been in Oregon about 42 years. But I travel extensively out and about. I was in a Zoom yesterday with a number of leaders from India, actually South Asia, the numerous countries of South Asia. And this guy's with Redeemer Church, out of New York City with Tim Keller, and travels a lot. And he says, man, I've been doing Zoom after Zoom after Zoom. He says his wife came up to him and said, you are becoming an incurable Zoomy. So we're all kind of, you know, getting to a point of Zoom fatigue. And so I don't intend that for this at all. I want us to actually be able to engage. So I'm going to kind of create a pace. I'll share some thoughts and content. I'll put some stuff out there. And then I'll hit a pause. And with that pause, you can either come back to me with a question, share a comment, share an observation. We'll just kind of make this, you know, very open. And then we've got two places where we've designed this for just going into breakout rooms together, whether it's three or four of us. And obviously, if you need to slip in or slip out at any point, that's fine. But I'll just kind of, you know, keep the pace. I want to begin with a scripture, and this is Haggai, the prophet, one of my favorite prophets, and a contemporary with Nehemiah. Nehemiah obviously got stirred by the Holy Spirit, had a unique call to go back to rebuild the walls and the gates in Jerusalem, very project-oriented. And Haggai brings the prophetic perspective. And so after, you know, the temple had been destroyed by a foreign invader, so here's the word of the Lord. I'll just share this as we begin, kind of as a frame for what we're going to be talking about. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is this a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now, interestingly, we've all been kind of shut up in our paneled houses. My wife Terry a couple weeks ago said, the Lord is just saying kind of like a father or grandfather, go to your room. You know, it's like time out. And clearly, all across the world, the Lord has just said to everyone, time out. So this is the question. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. And so I know for me, I'm saying, Lord, what do you want to say to me? Where or how are you getting my attention as a kingdom leader, you know, as a church leader, a voice, really, in terms of kingdom activity? Give careful thought to your ways. So that's just where I want to begin with a very short prayer. Lord, help us hear your word afresh through your servant Haggai. Give priority of our focus, our attention, our time, our investment, our resources to your house, your dwelling place. And Lord, particularly today, as we talk about what this looks like in Santa Cruz County, in a very beautiful, beautiful portion of real estate in California. And yet, Lord, we want to focus on what your house looks like. How do you want us to walk together? How do you want us to dwell together? So help us in these moments, give careful thought to our ways as you're getting our attention in the C-19 crisis. So we commit the conversation to you today for the honor of your son. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to share a few thoughts, maybe just a little bit of background journey. I won't belabor this at all, but sometimes it's helpful to connect the message that I'm carrying with the messenger, just part of my journey. I'm a child of the 60s. Okay. I'm just seeing and recognizing many of you are my age stage. and you've probably got a lot of common experiences. Very disillusioned with organized church in upstate New York. Grew up in Rochester, New York, in the 60s, and very negative experience with organized church. So they went to college starting in 65, made it 3 years studying sociology, and then came to the point of bailing out of my academic process. And we're in the whole thing about the drug activity and the music scene, you know, the Beatles were happening, and Maharishi, all these metaphysical things. So I moved to Greenwich Village. I had a good friend that had been going to NYU in the city, so I moved to Greenwich for about, 3 months. And virtually my story could be summed up this way. I experienced everything from D to Z, astrology to Zen, spiritism and seances, all kinds of these occultic metaphysical things that were going on. At one point, I became a practicing astrologer. I'm not boasting, I'm just kind of sharing my journey. And, sitting down with people and reading astrological charts. And so then I began to travel up and down the East Coast, lived at Cambridge Square near Harvard for a period of time, had other friends there. At one point, moved up to Kennebunkport, Maine for a season. Spent about 2 months in a Buddhist retreat center in northern Vermont. A guy who'd come out of Tibet, Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche. I remember these deep conversations with him about, is there a personal God? And there came a point at which, in my mind, I said, no, there is a personal sovereign God that has fashioned this world as we know it. So I just, had all these touch points, and then finally came to a point of despair, depression, frankly, is suicidal. And then met a man in whom Jesus lived. He was a former Assembly of God pastor who had a prison ministry in British Columbia and the state of Washington. And I became his chauffeur. And it was a 1959 Cadillac, the one with a big fence going out the back. I remember feeling like I had this weird privilege of driving like this spaceship around the state of Washington. And we even came down to Alcatraz and Sing Sing prison. And he would go in and share Jesus with the prisoners. And then he'd come out and we'd have conversations and he would leave me with things to read. And so over that period of time, and this is 1969, right in the middle of the Jesus movement, say some of you probably came into the kingdom like I did through that move of the Holy Spirit. I was apprehended by the Spirit of God. So I came into the kingdom and in October of 1969, and then kind of began my journey. And, so at Asbury Seminary, and this is like 1973, I went there to get my theological training. I married Terry in San Diego in 1973, August, and then went off to Asbury Seminary in Kentucky. So I did my master's thesis on Paul's understanding of principalities and powers. I had experienced the reality of spiritual warfare. Satan virtually a number of times had tried to physically take my life. And I had basically wrestled head to head with the Darth Vaders of the spirit world. And so I wanted to understand this biblically, theologically. So at Asbury, I did this whole major research project on what Paul understood were to be principalities and powers. And then came back here to Oregon, was on staff of a local congregation here in Corvallis, home of Oregon State University. So I was on staff at a church for about 4 years. And then the Holy Spirit began bringing people to me spontaneously who needed deliverance. So I began functioning in discernment. And because I'd had this journey, I had firsthand experience of the demonic realm. And so beginning in 1983, for 7 years, I was in the trenches doing individual counseling, deliverance work, emotional healing. And sometimes 15, 20 appointments a week. And so that went on for about 7 years. Obviously learned a ton. And by 89, I was asking this question. And by this point, I'd been at Silvoso. By this point, Peter Wagner had discovered me. I got a call from Peter Wagner in the spring of 1989. And he said, I've done a research search. And I've come to the conclusion you know more about this topic, principalities and powers, than anybody I can find. And so I was like stunned. I said, Peter, I know who you are. You're this famous guy. You know, how'd you find me? And so he said, I believe that you are to kind of be a voice for understanding how to deal with this high level spiritual warfare area. So I met Peter, met Cindy Jacobs, Chuck Pierce, began even traveling with Ed at this point. So I'm asking a question. Lord, I understand the power of your name, your word. I understand the power of the blood of Jesus to break chains of bondage, to set captives free. And here was my question. Do you set cities free? Huge question. How do you work through your authority? How do you work through the power of prayer? How do you work through a united body of believers that come together in prayer to expose darkness and break the power of darkness over a place? And so I began traveling by this point internationally, all around the world, and coming together with believers, most of them in the area of prayer and intercession, asking that kind of similar question. And so this then began for me a whole new part of my journey, and asking God the question, how do you manifest your authority in a place to break the power of evil? So I'm familiar with your county, and I'm familiar with Santa Cruz. I've been up in the hills. I've been in Boulder Creek. I've been at Mount Hermon, Redwood Christian Camp. And so I've been in these places on assignment in prayer. And as you know, I'm preaching to the choir in this moment. You live in one of the most intense metaphysical environments in the United States, for sure. I would probably even say around the world. And so you live in a culture that is really kind of infused with this high-level, sophisticated power of evil, and also the potentiality of the power of God manifesting in your place. So I come at this with a great measure of understanding of difficult places. So I've been called by the Lord to places of difficulty and extreme spiritual resistance. So I've worked in St. Petersburg, Russia, in Jerusalem, in Calcutta, Tokyo, Delhi, India. So I'm no stranger to dark places. And I just believe there's something here in the Lord and why he's just kind of called me to this conversation this morning. And so something happened to me. I found myself in prayer rooms, you know, with Peter Wagner and Ed and other high-level leaders, basically mustering huge amount of energy, shouting at the devil. Okay, these prayer meetings where we're trying to command the powers of evil to leave a place. And I'm getting troubled because I'm not seeing anything move. I'm seeing people get beat up. I'm seeing what John Paul Jackson called, you know, the needless casualties of war, spiritual war. And so I start asking the question, Lord, what does this look like? What is the right biblical protocol for dealing with high-level evil? That became my question. I ran everything kind of back through the grid of my seminary work, my thesis. And around the same time, this is now 1990, late 1990, I heard about a movement, okay? I heard about a move of the Holy Spirit among leaders, mostly pastors, started by a man in Portland, Joe Aldrich, Multnomah Bible College. And it was called Pastors Prayer Summits. So I called up Joe and I said, Joe, I've heard about this movement. It's beginning to spread to other cities around Oregon, Washington. Can I experience one of these gatherings? So he says, sure. So I find myself in January of 91 with Joe in Seattle with about 80 leaders, all them pastors, all the men at this point. And it was extraordinary. Leaders confessing competition, pride, confessing theological pride, or my church is bigger and better than yours, and getting very real in repentance. And there was a brokenness of heart. And what I saw there was real kingdom community happening. Now, this is a significant part of my journey. I came home. My wife, Terry, was never thrilled being married to a modern-day exorcist. This was not her life dream, you know? And so I came home, and I sat her down. I said, I've got good news. We have just been delivered from deliverance ministry. She just about came off the couch. I was like, wow, this is what I've been waiting to hear. And I said, we're giving the rest of our lives to promoting Jesus' prayer in John 17, that those who follow him would be knit together in love, okay? And that we would actually experience